Samsung did a foldable. Motorola knows you want more foldables. And now we can see Samsung doesn't want Motorola's design to stand alone. This is the Android Police Podcast.
It is Wednesday the 29th of January. Welcome alongside Cody Toombs. I'm Jules Wong, and let's get right down to it. So, talking about foldables, let's talk about that Galaxy Z Flip that has been making the rumor rounds in the past couple of weeks. Is that clamshell folder that Samsung's doing to effectively compete with Motorola's Razr. We got some new pictures coming from Roland Quant from WinFuture, one of the many leakers in the circle of leakers around our part of the industry. And, well, it looks interesting. You've seen the Galaxy Fold, right? Well, that's pretty much following the design here with the Z Flip, the design language, as they say. Straight lines, short radius curves for the corners, and that's pretty much it. Lots of glass. Supposedly, this is going to be the first phone to feature that foldable glass solution that is being made a big deal of. And other than the specs that we already have known about, where you can probably just look them up on androidpolice.com, we have plenty of stories going on there. We also have this, our first look at the display itself. Max Weinbach of XDA, one of those leakers, said that there might be a crease point in there. And by the looks of what we have seen in this material, it's kind of there. I can sort of see it, which, I don't know, maybe a good thing, maybe a bad thing. These media renders don't really tell any sort of accurate story that you could say. And I believe, Cody, you mentioned something about that display, that one-inch external display, which is that supposed to be just like an LED, a single-color LED that blends in? Or what's supposed to be the story on that?
Okay, so if you're looking at the pictures we have on the website, a little ways down, there's a render of the back of the phone. It shows a space that's slightly off color, and it's about the size of the camera module, just slightly larger.
It's right and next to it, right?
Yeah, basically. It's, well, on the opposing side of the phone, but yeah. And that's supposed to be a tiny little display for showing, theoretically, like notifications, I guess, so like a text message coming in or something like that. That way you don't have to physically open the phone to see if the message came in or if you got new notifications. It's not really clear yet what's going to appear on that display normally, but it's supposed to be always on. Or at least it'll support always on. Who knows if it'll maybe turn off when you open up the phone or something like that. But point is, it will be a tiny external display, which is helpful.
Sort of looks like the external LED display that my mom has on her old LG flip phone that she still uses. It's very cute. It blends in and it's all nice and stuff. Kind of the contrast that we want to go through here with the Fold. Actually, it's not really contrast, it's comparison. Raised bezels may protect the display and allow some tolerances. We saw those. I wouldn't suspect it to feel much different than the Galaxy Fold that I held, because it felt like an ingot when you held it in its folded position. I feel like that will be the same, but for the Z Flip, it's going to be for that extended folded out position that's going to feel like that ingot feeling. And I think the more important things there will be with the Razr. Specs wise, it's going to be a massacre. We're talking Snapdragon 855 Plus with 8 gigs of RAM to the Razr Snap 710 with 6 gigabytes. A lot of that has to do with the design timelines and when Motorola and Samsung basically just planned out their release schedules and when they acquired their parts. Or, well, Samsung is able to buy a whole ton of stuff at a massive scale. So, and partly because they produce a lot of Qualcomm's chipsets, they're able to steal a lot of, acquire a lot of stock pretty easily. So there's that.
You know, I'm going to jump in and throw a bit of a prediction on this. And we have no inside knowledge on this. I'm just kind of spitballing here. But my hunch is Motorola started development on the Razer with the hardware that's going to be in the Razer, and they never bothered to change it. So I think that was a beginning to end single development. I would bet much sooner that Samsung started development probably on an earlier chipset, and once they got the display worked out and a lot of the other details, then they upgraded the chipset to the 855 Plus.
Perhaps.
Just a hunch. You never know. Obviously, things like that are fairly fluid, but it would make sense and explain why they've got this device coming out with substantially better specs.
And it's not necessarily plug and play here. You can't just put in, you know, take out a 710 and put in an 855 Plus, because there are some parts redundancies and some advancements. You know, it's a different class of chipset, so there are more features that could be taken out, put in, you know, that stuff. To the price, because we've been hearing the talk that this is going to be the under $1,000 flagship foldable phone that people will use. It's going to be the thing that will revolutionize the form factor. Max Weinbach, XDA, says it's going to be an AT&T exclusive. $1,400, in which case my argument at this point is, well, I mean, if the difference is going to be that small, here's the thing, is that Verizon has the exclusive on the Razer, and that pretty much limits the audience on either side of things in the US, because you either go to AT&T and get your Samsung Flippy, or you go to Verizon and get your Moto, and that's pretty much it. No soup for the rest of us. And I feel kind of stuck. But if we were to say all other things equal in terms of access, like if I could just buy it and use it on my carrier, $100, I would go for the more usable design. And I personally think that Razer design is more usable.
So we've had this conversation before. I'm personally against the flip phone style, because to me, it's okay in some instances, but the moment you try to use it landscape, you're going to be facing just the most awkward design. It's not going to be very friendly to use in landscape. So to me, I still want to go with something more in the design of the Galaxy Fold.
Yeah.
So to me, both of these phones are bad designs.
That's fair. I mean, in terms of the modern use cases and the more multimedia rich activities that we would like to do on our smartphones, that's fair. But I think for me, I'm a more conservative Spartan user. I'd be able to get by just well enough with watching videos on these things. It's a matter of holding it in your hand and flipping it. And then one, making sure it doesn't fall out your hand easily. And I feel like the Razer design with its, more ambitious curves, I'll say, as opposed to like those straight lines and short curves of this Z Flip, would be more familiar to me. And also, it's just, if it does fall, I would also be more comfortable with the resin, the exterior resin that the Razer has opted to use. I hate saying expendable in that sort of context, because it's a $1,500 phone, but
yeah,
you know, I wouldn't want to, you know, use a glass exterior phone, flip phone, and have to like deal with the cracks and edges if I were to drop it on concrete or something like that. That would be not a good time.
And to that point, it's really notable Win Future apparently has been able to confirm that this is made of, and I'm air quoting this, ultra thin glass.
Yeah, we've been talking about that.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that means that this is substantially thinner than glass already in phones or not, but either way, just hearing it said that way makes me think we're about to get back to seeing a lot of cracked displays.
Yeah.
And at least, well, not that there are going to be a lot of this particular phone going out there, but if any sort of damage comes to it, I have my suspicions this will not be very durable.
Well, you go back to last week when we had Max Weinbach on the show, and he said that, I think he said it, otherwise it might be a tweet that I just happened to pass by, but that flexible glass is going to be made of three substrates, two plastic, and then the middle being glass, which, you know, might be thicker or something like that. I don't know. But I wouldn't be surprised to see a scratch fest going on, much as some of the Motorola phones with that Shatter Shield plastic cover stuff.
Hell yeah.
That was fun.
I forgot about that.
Those Droid Max phones were pretty interesting. But in any case, I think we will have a lot to say about this when... unfold events, that unpacked event is happening in San Francisco February 11th. We're getting ever so closer, and supposedly this will go up for pre-orders on Valentine's Day. So we can't wait. That's exciting.
Yeah. I assume somebody on the team will be reviewing it, and that ought to be interesting. I'm curious what the opinions will end up being.
Speaking of opinions and how many people have them, right? Right? Hey, look at that.
Nice transition. So if you enjoy reading Android Police, and wow, is this ever going to sound like an ad? And it kind of basically is. If you enjoy reading Android Police but don't really enjoy the ads, then there's actually kind of an answer to this coming up, and it's called Scroll. It's actually live now. I shouldn't say coming up. But Scroll is one of those services that basically offers you a subscription fee to enjoy a bunch of different websites ad-free, or mostly ad-free, and we'll explain that in a second. Scroll just launched this week, and it supports over 300 sites currently, including Android Police, Vox Media Sites, GO Media. I'm not actually familiar with that name.
That's the former Gizmodo.
Oh, I had a feeling that's what it was
going
to be.
With the whole Deadspin thing going on. Yeah, that's... fun.
Also Insider Media and a bunch of others. We've seen a full list, and it's a lot of big names, and also a whole lot of names that you would really only know if you're an enthusiast to their crowd. But it's $5 a month. 70% of that goes to the publications that you visit. And if you sign up early, you get 6 months at $2.50 per month. And there is also a free trial, which is, I believe, 30 days.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And this is basically a way to go ad-free without using an ad blocker and, you know, still support sites.
But an ad blocker is free. Oh, my God.
Exactly.
Why are you ripping us off, man? This free content. Am I right?
The freeze. And just to get some of the implementation details out of the way, this is a cookie-based solution in case anyone was possibly doubtful of that. Basically, you sign in to Scroll, it sticks a little cookie in the browser, and any site that you visit that supports it will just start loading without ads. There's a tiny little, like a floating bar at the bottom of the browser, at the bottom of any site that supports this. It's not like a browser plugin.
And they also offer dictation for the stories that you're reading, too. It has this British woman's voice that kind of adjusts to it. Although, we have a lot of jargon that, has some interesting pronunciations, we'll say.
I haven't actually tried that yet. I'm now curious what it sounds like.
It's fun.
And so if you're using this, the one type of ad that won't be blocked is if it's coming from something like Discus, where it's a chat system that's doing its own advertising. And basically, we can't really work through that. But that's the one place where you'll still see an ad if you're using Scroll. And also, go ahead and mention what you were going to say about the app.
Oh, it just exists. So you can have an ad-free experience on mobile Scroll app. And you can just view our site with any of your browsers and just enjoy us ad-free like that as well. It's a great time. And I think I've just been thinking about all the people who have been complaining. And it's, I mean, to be fair. Like, of the 200-plus comments, the dozens of tweets that in reaction to the news that Android Police was going to be joining 336 sites that were going to take apart this. I mean, we're in good company, but also a lot of other sites, and, you know, to their credit, they can do this because it's true, are able to tout a better ad experience, you know, less intrusive, not even doing... reminders of when you block the site with your ad blocker, like to whitelist us. I don't believe Android Police does that. We don't have the whitelist reminder, do we?
As far as I know, I don't think so.
See, we don't even go that far.
I know APK Mirror does, but I don't think Android Police does.
Ah, I see. Well, I mean, all of us are trying to make the experience as painless as possible for the reader, because our money is derived by the people who give us money to do things, whether it's a sponsored post or maybe just those ads. But the dilemma that we have to face as a tech site and with a tech audience who very savvy, who know that there are free ad blocking services out there, and a lot of them, I'm not being fair here, but a lot of them have the attitude that, well, because the internet is supposed to be free, and you've already paid your ISP the money to do that, and it's free information. Well, technically, there are multiple definitions to the word free. Free flowing is one thing. Free from cost is another, and there's cost in delivering all that stuff to you. But we forget about that a lot of times, so I think it's important to be mindful of that. Be mindful of your practices and how you consume information from us. That's all.
Yeah. So, short version, a lot of people have been really angry about launching Scroll, which I think is interesting because worst case scenario, just don't use
shorter
it.
Shorter version, people are raging.
Yeah.
Why? Yeah.
If you ever really want to just read kind of bizarre and odd rage, just go to the comments section on a post like this and enjoy.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
And from one ad to another.
Yep, pretty much.
Sorry for this, guys.
Support, because we also do need support here. And we, Android Police, are live on Twitch with your nearly daily stream. It's four times a week, and that's most of the week. So that's close enough for us to call it near daily. We can't do this without your support. So the best way to help us get through and just make this magic happen is to subscribe to us on Twitch. We have ways to thank you if you do that. You get a special emoji of Ryan. Lovely stuff. I've seen him make that face before. You get to use that face. It's fun. It's amazing. Also, you get a whole bunch of entries into Android Police's giveaways. I think we have another one coming up soon. You only have to pay starting at $5 a month, but you can also subscribe to us for free and still support us, because Amazon will give us money. If you have an Amazon Prime account, they give you a Twitch Prime subscription once a month. You do need to re-up that subscription every month, but it's a great way to help us out and not waste your money. So you can learn more about all of this at twitch.tv/AndroidPolice. And if you don't use Twitch, why wouldn't you? Come on. Head over to androidpolice.com and you can hit the donate button to help us out there. We thank you for listening, reading, and loving us here at Android Police. Onward and upward with the rest of the show here. Let's talk about Google and Microsoft and the budding romance that that was my side.
I know.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, oh yeah, I should have muted mine.
But that, well, those came from my phones, and I don't think that would have helped much in any case.
No, it never does.
Yeah. So some Redditors have been looking into Chromium and the repositories that make up the open source part. Well, I guess you could say it is open source, because Chrome OS is the proprietary bit. But Chromium is the basis of Chrome and a lot of other web browsers out there, especially on Android. Microsoft has been contributing quite a bit to that repository. One such instance involves a bug report, and this also included a discussion about a potential feature upstream where Microsoft Edge, which now runs Chromium, has been doing so for the last year or so. One of its features, though, is for users to be able to move multiple tabs between windows. And there was a thought that maybe all Chromium-based browsers would be able to use that, be useful. And so there was a nice little discussion, and very courteous. I think the word please was used in there once or twice. And Microsoft ended up patching the bug, and it sounds like we're going to get that feature integrated into the Chromium repository sometime soon. So all good stuff. The Verge reports that Microsoft has made over 1,000 of these little tiny fixes and patches on Chromium last year. And it sounds like it's going to be increasing its involvement as time goes on here. Microsoft and Google have had, you wouldn't say the most friendly of relationships in the past, but as more and more we see Microsoft develop cloud solutions and figuring out what it wants to do in terms of gaming and other things, and also increasing emphasis on hardware, its Surface lineup, my kind of hypothesis here is that we're seeing Microsoft becoming less of a consumer software company and leave that job over to third-party vendors, maybe like a very high-profile partner like Google would be a great friend to have in the pocket, I would say. What do you think?
Well, they certainly do still compete on a number of things, like obviously Office 360 versus Google Docs, things like that. So I think they're probably never going to be like fully straight-up non-competing companies, but yeah, there's obviously more and more where the two can kind of collaborate and work together. And to be fair, almost all companies kind of have relationships like that in some way. Granted, over the years, things got a little harsher between Apple and Google, but the iPhone originally shipped with Google Maps as its primary map provider, and quite a few other Google services in some way, shape, or form kind of played into the iPhone.
I think the one exception in like corporate, our corporate world, I guess you could say at this point, is Apple trying to internalize. It's acqui-hiring and just going against everyone else on its own merits and philosophies. And I think there's only so much that the other trillion-dollar companies can do to combat that, especially as we've seen. I think Apple reported numbers this week, and iPhone purchase revenue was up 8%. They were making, I think, $1 billion every day of the quarter in revenue. So, you're going up against that kind of clout. It's going to be tough, and I think more alliances sort of parry Apple's attempts is going to be necessary.
Yeah. So, circling back to the topic of Chrome itself, honestly, I got to say, there was a lot of debate on whether or not Microsoft was going to become much of a contributing partner, whether or not they might become too much of a contributing partner. Obviously, Microsoft in the past has had a bit of a iffy history when it comes to getting involved in other companies' technologies. Just ask anyone who developed Microsoft's version of Java and see what their thoughts on that were. Yeah, so far this is looking like a pretty good thing. It's neat that they're trading some stuff up and contributing back to Chrome. And the history of web browsers kind of working together, or rather the development teams working together on web browsers, has been really good. So famously, the Google Chrome team worked a lot with the WebKit team from Apple when they were sharing the same browser source. And when they took over, but when they splintered off, a lot of that work that was happening with Google Chrome still made its way back into WebKit. So these teams do actually typically try to work together a lot, which is fantastic. So I think Chrome is generally benefiting from this a lot. Now, that being said, I will interject the one moment that I guarantee if Corbin were here, he would want to kick in. Damn it, why did Microsoft have to go with Chrome and not Firefox? There, it's been said. It's something I know you would have said, so it's in here.
We miss you, Corbin.
You make it sound so ominous. Corbin will be back on Friday.
Well, he's been entirely edited out of the podcast today. He got his wish.
Oh, I should not have taken a sip of water at that moment.
Oh, man. Well, all the topics we've talked about today can be found at androidpolice.com/podcast. We are live 4 times a week at twitch.tv/androidpolice. We would love to hear your thoughts as well. Send an email to podcast@androidpolice.com. On Twitter, Cody is at Cody_TOOMBS. Our producer, that's me, it's Jules Wong. He's at Point Jules. And our theme music is by Ohm. The podcast returns on Friday, same bat time, same bat Twitch. But until then, take care, y'all.